Welcome. Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our ministry over the wires, over the wireless. Pray that all is well with you today and that this message will go along with the pastor's message. And I don't mean maybe that we're preaching on the same things, but go along to help you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be looking at, in our Sunday school portion of our ministry, we're going to be looking at the flesh. 3 weeks ago, if you'll recall, our message was entitled, The World, the Flesh, and the Devil. Now, that first message was chiefly concerned with the world, which led us to consider the wicked atmosphere, the evil influence which pervades, invades, and saturates the entire inhabited earth. We learned that the devil was the spirit who leads that onslaught against God and humanity. Consequently, last week we dealt with that fallen angel, devil as he is often named, who even in the Old Testament is referred to as Satan. He is the ancient serpent. Yeah, he's a servant of God, that's for sure. But he's the ancient serpent who influenced the original humans, Adam and Eve, into disobedience against their creator, Elohim, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He, Satan, is the ruler of the authority of the atmosphere. The spirit, the one now working in the children of the disobedience. All humanity, since the Garden of Eden, are children of that specific sin, that disobedience that was performed by these original humans when God had commanded them to follow Him. They decided they would disobey. That specific sin committed in the garden causes everyone who is born today to come forth from the womb speaking lies. It was passed on from them to everyone who has ever been since that time. I mentioned come forth speaking lies from the womb. You might want to look at Psalm 58 if you'd like to see that. Now, this leads us to deal with the topic today, the flesh. Right in the middle of that title of 3 weeks ago. The word flesh appears 423 times in your King James Version of the Bible. In the Old Testament, it almost always speaks exclusively of the physical, the human body. In many instances, it means the meaty part plus skin. If you go to your Strong's Concordance and look up the word flesh from the Old Testament, you'll see that this is true. When Elohim, the triune God, removed Adam's rib to create the woman, he closed up the flesh thereof. Adam, upon seeing the woman, replied in part, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Along these lines, the word flesh may refer to the body, and therefore all humanity as well. All human beings have a body. Deuteronomy 5:26, "For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God?" That's speaking of all humanity in their bodies. Now, this meaning concerning the body that we've just talked about, the bodies of human beings, is seen in the New Testament with Jesus Christ himself. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, it is said of Jesus Christ, who is referred to, as we have seen many times, the Word, the Word. And the Word became flesh, flesh. You combine that with Colossians 2:9, and we clearly see how the word flesh may mean the body in the New Testament. Colossians 2:9, for in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, of the deity, bodily. So flesh and the body can mean exactly the same thing. Now, looking in the Old and New Testament, we've got to realize here the likeness of the word flesh between the Old Testament and the New Testament ends. It is in the New Testament where we see the meaning of the word flesh on a figurative level, which moves us from the realm of the physical to the unseen reality of the spirit. And that's what's going to be at the heart of this message today. The scripture which introduces us to the spirit realm of the flesh is found in John 3:6, because there's a great contrast shown here. And then we're going to move to the likeness between the spirit and the flesh. The one having been born of the flesh is flesh, and the one having been born of the spirit is spirit. Of course, the importance of Christ's statement here cannot be overemphasized, because it is in the immediate context of the new birth. The new birth being born anew from above by the Holy Spirit. Not talking of physical things here. Without that, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor can you perceive the kingdom of God. Now, thanks be to God, as we grow in our knowledge of the Holy Scriptures as revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get it on your own. You're not going to figure it out, folks. It needs to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me when I say that? Folks, that's a bottom line there. So many people wonder, why can't I understand this? Well, there are a lot of things we don't understand. But folks, things must be revealed to us by God himself, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, for all of us who are Christians, who have been born again. Now, as we grow in that knowledge, we learn that the flesh means more than simply the human skin and related tissue of the body, and even the body itself. Let's consider, that's what we're going to be about today, let's consider the word flesh and how it can be related to the realm of spiritual things, the realm of spiritual things, as well as the physical realm. I have much to say before we arrive at the evil connotation of the word flesh. Before I get there, we're going to have a rather lengthy portion of this message. The human body and its skin, along with the meaty tissue of the body, are not sinful in and of themselves. We must go back. Listen to me very closely, please. We must go back to the creation of mankind to understand the evil connotation the Word of God gives to the word flesh in certain contexts. Genesis 2:7. And Jehovah Elohim, the triune God, formed man, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God created the body and breathed life into that body, and man became a living soul, a living being. That body contained the human spirit because God breathed it into the man, which gave the man life. The human spirit was inside the body, as it is in all of us. As the scripture continues, we see mankind disobeying the Creator and being sentenced to physical death of the body. But we must realize, when we look at that text, it was the spiritual side of mankind that died first. Now, I know you've heard this many times, and usually in pretty much the same way. We've got a little extra, I pray, today. God has shown to me through the literal translation of a verse, and I hope that you will have the Spirit of God show you what this meaning is. The disobedience that came from our original parents came from their wills and minds, which are not physical, but from the human spirit. Folks, this thing in the skull called the brain, it's nothing but tissue. Without the spirit, without the life that God breathed into it, that can't do anything. It can't do anything. So, our wills and our minds come from spirit, that human spirit. And of course, we have seen that it was defiled by the disobedience of our original parents. Now, that disobedience separated them from fellowship with God spiritually. God, their creator. And fellowship with God, folks, is real life, even eternal life. Fellowship with God is real life, eternal life. If people are alive today, yes, there is a spirit, their human spirit, but if they're without God, they have no real life, which is fellowship with the Lord God. God had warned them of this spiritual death. This very scenario we speak of here now in Genesis 2:17. He proclaimed the judgment to be suffered for disobeying his command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jehovah Elohim, the triune God, said this. Please listen. In the day that you eat of it to die, you shall die. Now that is the literal translation of that verse. The day you eat of it to die, you shall die. Now it's clear from the text, if you'll read it in Genesis, that Adam and Eve did not die physically on the day they ate from the forbidden tree. They kept living, folks. The Bible records that Adam lived 930 years. But in that day that they disobeyed God, their fellowship with Elohim died. It died. Folks, they were scared to death. They were in hard fear. They hid from God. It's because that fellowship died. They were separated from God in spirit, and as a result of that, their human bodies would die in time, and those bodies would return to being dust from which the body was created. Jehovah Jesus confirms that, as recorded in Genesis 3:19, where the Lord said to Adam, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. for out of it you were taken. For dust are you, and to dust you shall return. Now, folks, that's an indisputable thing that cannot be overcome. This is the plight of the vast majority of humanity that has ever lived, ever will live. Now, of course, when the Lord Jesus returns, if he returns before some die physically, they will be changed. So we still have this change to go through. So what you've just seen is the fate of the human body due to the disobedience of the two original human beings. Nonetheless, the human spirit, dead to God, remains in that physical body, and that spirit, having no fellowship with God, having no relationship to God, is controlled by self-interests of the mind and the will. This is reflected many times in the Holy Scriptures. Give me some scripture here, preacher, that we're controlled by self-interests of our minds and wills. In Genesis 6:5, Jehovah Jesus said this: every intention of the thoughts of mankind's heart. Now that portion right there of that verse proves that the heart and the mind are interchangeable. You cannot separate them. Every intention of the thoughts of mankind's heart, altogether evil, all the time. Now, if you'd like to argue with the Lord Jesus Christ, go right on ahead. But you're going to lose that one, folks, especially at the last day. Judges 21:25. Everyone did right in his own eyes. That's the way people live, folks. They always have since Adam and Eve. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way right to a human being, but it's in the way of death, as the Lord God pronounced in the garden. Knowing that the heart and mind, as I've just told you, are inseparable, makes Jeremiah 17:9 a text that we must consider when viewing the sinful human spirit. So many people will reject this verse, but this is the way that it is. The heart. And of course, folks, we could say the mind, could we not, from what we just saw? The heart, the mind, deceitful above all, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We think we know our own minds, even as Christians. Thanks be to God that we have a mind that's being created in us by Jesus Christ. We have a mind of Christ, a mind given to us by Christ, being changed day by day, more and more into His image. The heart, the mind, are the center of the human spirit, where we find man's humanity's will, desires, intentions. The heart, the mind, that's where we get our will, desires, intentions. And folks, it's a spiritual thing. It doesn't come from the flesh, doesn't come from our human bodies. The wickedness of that heart, the wickedness of that mind, causes the desires of humanity to be lusts, driven by inordinate, excessive affections. Folks, we're still touched by that as Christians. We have to guard against that. We war against that day by day. And were it not for the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't make it. we'd be like those without the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 has several words describing human lust. Never satisfied, never says enough. That gives you a good, clear explanation of human lust. Never satisfied, never says, that's enough. The human spirit, which contains the heart, the mind, from which comes the will, desires, intention, and all these being defiled. The human spirit is defiled. Therefore, the heart and mind, which come from that spirit, and bring forth our wills, desires, and intentions, all of these are being defiled, polluted by sin. And all are housed where? Where is their habitation? In the human body, the flesh. As the spirit is corrupted, so the flesh is being corrupted, because it houses the desperately wicked human spirit. You can't have one without the other. They are so intertwined, and because of that spiritual realm, this physical realm becomes defiled as well. This is why Christ said to Nicodemus, and now to all of us, you must be born from above, born anew by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration of that dead human spirit, which had no fellowship with God, no relationship to God. Having been born again spiritually, one has been made alive together with Christ spiritually. That new spiritual life, which is eternal, gives us fellowship with Elohim as the children of God. Remember Elohim, that plural word that is used singularly, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with the triune God. We are the children of God. But folks, listen to me now. It's going to be a hard one for you. But not so with this present body. Not so with this present body, the flesh. Remember what Jehovah Elohim said concerning eating from the forbidden tree. We get back to it. In the day you eat of it, to die you shall die. Listen to me. In that day, the very eating of it was to die spiritually. You get it? In the day that you eat of it, to die spiritually. Consequently, then, you shall die physically at the appointed time. You shall die. Speaking of something that's going to happen. In the day you eat of it, to die spiritually. Well, look forward now, because you're going to die physically. Now, is there anything in the New Testament that gives us some clarity there? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto human beings once to die. Then after this, judgment. Now that speaks of physical death of the body, the flesh. In God's purpose for mankind, and oh folks, He has one. You might want to call it fate, because that's the way it is. He has determined the flesh to return to the ground from which it was taken. You can't avoid this, folks. You can't avoid it. You can't run away from it. As one of my messages said to you, no way out. No way out. At the last day, when judgment takes place, conducted by Jesus Christ himself, those Christian spirits will be presented with new resurrected bodies. Now, here's another place you need to really listen up. At that day, when we stand before Christ, and Christ judges everyone who has ever been, we as Christians will be glorified. Completely. Spirit, soul, and body. The Christian human being will be absolutely and entirely free from sin. And of one thing you can be sure, listen. One thing you can be sure, these new bodies will be spiritual and not flesh. Listen to the recorded message from Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able. Flesh and blood is. Well, now those are two things. Shouldn't it be are? No, it's is, because he's talking about the body. Flesh and blood, the body, is not able to inherit kingdom of God. Is that clear enough for us? That's a point blank statement. These bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood, again, here in this particular verse, are a reference to the human body. The flesh. The flesh. Without flesh and blood, there is no present physical body. In the meantime, now here we start moving towards closing. Not closing, but start moving that way. In the meantime, you and I, as Christians, folks, this is where we are now. We're Christians. We must deal with sin, which is also still in the human spirit. It was not eradicated. And that spirit remains where? In our bodies. These present human bodies, our flesh. We've already alluded to the fact earlier in the message that sin had defiled our spirit, and our bodies, our flesh, are also defiled. And you know what that made us considered as by God? Unclean. Unclean before the Lord God saved us. Isaiah 64:6. But we all are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses like filthy rags. That's what you get when you're in the flesh. Now, I told you we'd have a lengthy portion before we got to this evil connotation, point blank. We're getting to the evil connotation of the word flesh. I want us to view now some verses using the flesh as an agent of sin. 2 Corinthians 7:1 speaks of the filthiness of the flesh. Romans 7:25, we serve the law of sin with the flesh. Paul says that to Christians, as a Christian. We serve the law of sin with the flesh. An evil connotation concerning the flesh. The words lust or lusts of the flesh, those phrases appear on a number of occasions in the New Testament. Book of Galatians, Book of Ephesians, 2 Peter, 1 John. Now I'm going to be specific. I'm going to hit you, as I've already hit me, with a text that's going to reveal what we're up against. And you all are going to know what I'm talking about. To be specific as to the activities of sinful flesh is seen in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. May I read now and again a literal text? Evident now, right now, where you and I sit now, where you and I live now, where we move about now. Evident now are the works of the flesh. The evil connotation of the flesh, which are, number one, sexual immorality. Christian, you know what Christ said. Even if you look upon a woman to commit adultery, you've committed adultery. Impurity. God is serious about this thing. He would have us be pure. Sensuality. I want to again hit this where it speaks to so many of us, so many people. Be careful how you dress, especially ladies. I don't mean to pick on the ladies, but especially ladies. If you're a Christian, got to be careful how you dress. Men are going to lust after you if you want to be seen. Sensuality. Idolatry. Oh, now, we don't worship any these idol things. Oh, come on. We've been over this so many times. There are so many things that you can idolize. Be careful. Sorcery. Now, we don't practice any sorcery today. Have you ever dealt with astrology? Folks, that's sorcery. That is straight up sorcery. Enmities. Now, this means, you know, differences we have, but it brings in ill will. I find, oh God, I hate to say this, but I find that I have ill will in a lot of situations towards others. And I mean, God has made that very clear to me. I need to repent of such things. Strife. Now this is talking about, I see this in me too. This is talking about bitter disagreement. Folks, you can't be bitter. You can disagree about certain things and be civil. But bitter disagreements. I mean, come on. You can get in arguments where all of a sudden you find yourself hating somebody. Folks, this is the life we live now. The flesh that rears its ugly head. Jealousy. I don't have to explain that too much. Got to be careful about that, of course. Outbursts of anger. Again, I'm one guilty of that. Contentions. Arguments. You know, arguments. We just don't need to be taking part in arguments, folks. Dissensions. Now listen to this. This fits our day. Dissensions can have to do with radical anti-authority positions. Radical anti-authority positions. Got to be careful there, folks. Got to be careful. Factions. And that goes along with what we just talked about. Factions. Be very careful about political groups. Be very careful about political groups. Factions. Envyings. Now, you know, we're Christians. But goodness, I think sometimes we might envy some people who have this and we don't have that. And all kinds of things. Could be some people are a lot more intelligent than we are. And we, you know, we envy that. Again, look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. He's all that you need and he will give you whatever is necessary. Drunkenness. That's clear. Clear right there. Carousing. You know, it really gets me sometimes to see that certain people might be able to go into bars and have a sociable drink with people. And I'm talking about bars, period, because there are places which you can go to eat and they will serve liquor. You know, you can't avoid that a lot of times. You just don't have to be partaking of something that might make you drunk. Carousing. Can't be doing that. And it ends with this. And things like these. So there are all kinds of related things that we could just keep going on and on and on about. But I think I've given us a good view of things that we might want to be concerned with in our own personal lives. As Christians, folks, we have partaken of such things that I just mentioned. We must guard against falling prey to such fleshly enticements. Now, we are moving towards closing now, for sure. The Apostle Peter acknowledges the brutal, this thing is brutal, the brutal war we are fighting against the flesh, wherein dwells sin. See this human body? The flesh, there is still sin present. Peter says this, "Beloved, I exhort," he encourages us, "as aliens and sojourners." We are not comfortable, folks, in this present world. We're aliens. We don't fit in. We shouldn't fit in. We're sojourners. We're not going to be here all of our existences. Thanks be to God. He exhorts us as aliens and sojourners to abstain. Don't touch it. Get away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. From fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I have done things, and I'm talking about the recent past. I have done things which obviously were warring against my very own soul. Caused me terrible grief, inwardly, spiritually. Adding to what I am already under with attacks on every side by things outside of my control. But folks, the Bible says concerning the fruit of the Spirit that God has given us temperance, self-control. Oh, pray. Pray that the Lord God will give you a greater measure of self-control. Lord knows I do. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Impossible for you and me to overcome in our own strength. We're not going to do it. But with Jehovah Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and in His strength, we will endure to the end, where we will see Christ and be made like He is, without the flesh, without the sin. Come, King Jesus. Come, King Jesus. Amen.